I wasn't really into doing things by myself back then. I was terrified of even getting in the car and going up to this place, but I did it. I pushed myself out of my comfort zone and I loved it.
Welcome to the Guides Gone Wild podcast. What is Guides Gone Wild, you ask? This is where you'll fill your ears and minds with the stories of everyday, extraordinary women who will inspire you to take your outdoor adventure game to the next level. Whether you're starting your journey from the couch or the trailhead, this is the place for you, so let's get a little wild. Welcome, welcome back to Guides Gone Wild. Have you missed me? I've missed you. This is Jen. I'm more than a day late and a dollar short in getting this episode out. The real world keeps getting in my way, but I'm here now. So let's get into it. Today, in honor of it being National Volunteers Week, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Cindy Heshen, scientist by day, hiker, and volunteer chair for the 48 Peaks Hike to End Alzheimer's, every other waking moment she can manage. Cindy and I talk about her love affair with the White Mountains and hiking, her personal connection with Alzheimer's, and how the 48 Peaks fundraiser grew out of one man's devotion to his wife. Her enthusiasm and dedication to this event will pour through your earbuds and make it obvious why Cindy was recognized with a national award earlier this year for her volunteerism. I hope you'll hang with us till the end. I've got a special offer for my 48 peakers out there, and you'll get more info on how to join Team Guides Gone Wildcats for a leg-burning, money-raising hike to support the Alzheimer's Association later this summer. And with that, let's welcome Cindy Heshen from The Longest Day, 48 Peaks Hike to End Alzheimer's. Let's just roll right in. Cindy Heshen, I got connected with, I think we started emailing probably a little while ago, actually. But in addition to being a scientist and you live in Massachusetts also, don't you? Or Southern
New
Hampshire.
I do, yes.
Yeah.
Yep,
she's right a big White Mountain hiker, and she works with the Alzheimer's Association on their 48 Peaks fundraiser, which kind of is an offshoot of the Longest Day fundraiser that they had been doing for many, many years, which she's going to talk to us about today. But I wanted to have her on because this is the time of year when we're all thinking about what we want to accomplish this summer, or like, you know, well, I mean, summer was on its way here until today when it's apparently going to be winter again shortly. But, you know, most of us have turned our brains off of snow and snow sports and onto getting out in on the trails when they dry up to do something, bike, hike, whatever. And along with the Summits in Solidarity fundraiser that we've talked about the last couple of years, who kind of borrowed the model that you guys have last year when they tried to put a team on all of the different 4,000 footers in New Hampshire. So you guys are real trailblazers. So I want to hear all about it. So, but I need to shut up first, or else I'm not going to hear about anything today. Oof. Cindy, welcome to Guides Gone Wild this lovely evening. Oh.
Thank you, Jen. It's so great to be here and finally meet you like face to face.
I know.
It's great.
I'm psyched. And now that we're realizing we're right up the street from each other, maybe we can make an in-person meeting happen sooner than later. But let's talk about, obviously you're into hiking because that's how you got involved in this in the first place. So before we talk about 48 Peaks and your connection with Alzheimer's and the Alzheimer's Association, I want to hear about kind of why hiking of all things, or what got you into that to start with? Because you're from this area originally, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Watertown.
Oh,
so
cool.
I haven't strayed very far at all. I'm still in Eastern Mass, still in the Boston area, working around here and trying to hike when I can. You know, we don't have those New Hampshire 4,000 footers right out my back door.
Right. Lots of nice walking trails, though.
Pretty good ones.
I lived in Watertown for a long time on Olney Street. Right near downtown.
Oh, okay.
Around the corner from the Busy Bee Pub, where I would get wings all the time. Oh, it may not
there
be there.
You go.
Now, but anyway, yeah. Watertown's
yeah.
Love it. Watertown's cool. So you went to school in the area as well?
Yeah, I didn't go to the Watertown schools, but I went to private school in Newton. So still stayed in the area. And then I went to college and grad school out at UMass Amherst. So stayed in Massachusetts, didn't stray very far.
So then you saw some more hills when you got out there.
I did. I saw a lot more hills out that way. But,
were you hiking and doing outdoor activities in college, or let's talk about how you
not
kind of
so
rolled
much
into
in
that.
College. Yeah, I would say going back to your question about how I got into hiking, my dad was an Audubon member when I was a kid. So I actually went to the local habitat. It's in Belmont. It's a sanctuary. So I went there for February and April vacations for a very long time. And a hike back then was what, 1 or 2 miles, like for a little kid. But it was still like, oh, cool, we're hiking. And then, high school became the more of the thing. I didn't really do the hiking, and then college, same thing. And I would say in grad school is when I finally got out again doing hiking, because I stayed out there in the summer to finish my master's degree, and most people go home. Like, it was a ghost town, and I did have a car at the time, so I was like, what am I going to do if I'm not just, wake up, go work in lab for the day, come home? There's got to be something else I'm going to do for the 3 months I'm out here, right? And I remembered this place that we had done a, like, undergrad event called Mount Sugarloaf, which is just north of campus. It's like not even 700 feet tall. But I remembered that place, and I said, you know what? What if I just go and like hike it, see what happens, kind of thing. And I wasn't really into doing things by myself back then. I was terrified of even getting in the car and going up to this place. But I did it. I pushed myself out of my comfort zone, and I loved it. I for your listeners and for you, I don't know if you've been to Mount Sugarloaf, but it has this commanding, beautiful view of the Connecticut River and UMass and the surrounding hills. And there's Mount Holyoke, Mount Tom, Bear Mountain. There's all these beautiful peaks that I also have hiked after that fact, but it just became this special place for me, really like my happy place for that summer. And I was hiking like 3 to 4 days a week at first, and then like five or six. And it just really, it, I found a part of me I didn't know was there. It had been kind of dormant since I was a kid. And then I had a friend who was working on her 48, and she was like, hey, you want to go hiking? And that's how I ended up doing the 48, pretty
That's
much.
funny. Well, and
So.
I and it's interesting that you asked about Mount Sugarloaf, because I haven't actually, not to my knowledge, not
Yeah.
that I can recall. And because I think that when I was, in my 20s and 30s and even into my 40s, like if I was thinking about hiking, I didn't really appreciate doing something like that as like a hike. I was so focused on like, oh, so I bet I have hiked in Western Mass, but I've gone to like Greylock because it's like, oh, it's the highest peak in Massachusetts. So you got it, it was like more from a more, I guess, from a peak bagging perspective, although I haven't officially taken on the 48s, but I've done not a bunch, but probably a third of them just because,
There you
we were
go.
going to do hikes or, did a presidential traverse a couple times. And but now, I don't know, as I get older, I'm like really loving exploring literally in my own backyard, like land trusts and, just, I don't have a dog, but, going out on paths that I would think that people would take dogs on, I'm like just like loving it up. And I took my older daughter out to UMass last fall to see it, and it's beautiful out there. I
Oh, it's
forgot my
so
brother
great.
went, but every time I went out there when my brother went, it was like pouring rain and miserable, and I was just kind of like, whatever, you came and you went. But we went out there on a beautiful day, and I was like, wow, this is really, it is really nice in that area. So that's
Yeah, I
good.
think it's one of those areas that's kind of overlooked because people think of the Berkshires and they think of, like the Waupac, like Wachusett area and Middlesex Fells and Blue Hills. And there's just this whole, it's the Pioneer Valley that's forgotten about. And like there's the Seven Sisters between Mount Holyoke and Bear Mountain, and there's Mount Norwituck. I could go on. Like, I loved hiking all those peaks. And I had friends, like, I didn't think I was a hiker. I was going like a month in at that point, and I had friends that were like, you're a hiker, take me hiking. I was like, what? Who are you talking to? I was like, I don't have the gear. I was just with like a drawstring baggie in my sneakers. Like, I didn't have what I have now, and I thought I wasn't a hiker. And then at the end of the summer, I was like, oh, I guess I am a hiker.
Oh
You
my
don't need
God.
all that cool stuff to
Definitely
hike.
not. Definitely not. Now, were your parents like so they sent you to an Audubon camp. Were they into being outside, or is that something you guys did as a family, or not so much?
So my mom's not really into the outdoors. My dad apparently was a closet outdoorsman that I didn't really know about. Found this out later on that when he was like just out of college, he went and hiked down from the Canadian Rockies into Glacier and
Oh,
like took
wow.
photos with his old camera. I forget what type of millimeter camera it was, but I was like, so you are a hiker. I had no idea.
Once you
So
picked it
he's,
out, did out west, did he start coming along with you? And do you guys do that at all now, or?
No, so my parents are both in their mid-70s, and it's like I did take them up Cannon via the tram so that they could see a 4,000 footer that I've been to. I do want to get him on some local trails. I don't think he could do a four, like we can't do a 4K together at this point, but maybe there's something else we can do.
Yeah,
So,
absolutely. That's
yeah.
cool. So that's interesting. So you got into hiking. You didn't think you were a hiker, but now you then you realized you
Now
actually
I
were.
am.
You didn't want to go anywhere by yourself, but then you're actually like, this is unbelievable and amazing, and I love it. So talk to me about how you wound up hiking, like linking the hiking with the Alzheimer's Association. I would imagine that you come to, well, I know this because I listened to some of your other things that you've talked about. But I would have imagined even before that that most people come to advocacy for Alzheimer's because they have a personal relationship with it somehow. And unfortunately, a lot of us do have personal relationships with it. So tell me a little bit about how you found the association in the first place and how you got maybe hooked up with the hiking to do that on behalf of them.
Yeah, I'll talk first of how I got connected. It was actually through a college friend, the one who looped me into doing the 48 in the first place. Her and her mom were working on the 48. Now they're gritters, and they were hiking Franconia Loop back in, I think, summer 2017, and they came across a group of hikers all dressed in purple. And they stopped to chat and asked them, you know, why are you all wearing purple? And came to find out they were hiking with an event called 48 Peaks for the Alzheimer's Association. And at the time, they didn't have a connection to Alzheimer's or dementia, but they knew I did. So she sent me the link and the info. We chatted and we signed up for 2018 to fundraise. I wasn't able to hike that year, but her and her mom did. And then we came back and made a big team in 2019, which was the first time I hiked with 48 Peaks. In terms of my connection, my original reason for hiking was my grandmother. So my mom's mom had dementia and passed in 2010. So she lived probably from my middle school days until my first semester of college with dementia. It was something I didn't really understand at the time, you know, being a teenager. It was just, this is Graham. Like, she doesn't remember some things. There's some behavioral things going on. But I didn't fully understand what was happening or even the impact on my mom, who was her primary caregiver for many years until she went into assisted living. But I didn't make it home for her services since I was out at school. And when I came home, I realized I had wanted to be there, you know, to say goodbye. So I didn't get to say goodbye the way I would have wanted. And, you know, I regretted that for a long time until I found 48 Peaks. And it ended up being not unknowingly when I signed up, it became my way to say goodbye to her.
Yeah, that's lovely, and it is a lovely tribute. I know you probably have some stats about Alzheimer's. You know, it's obviously dementia is a big deal for a lot of folks. Alzheimer's and dementia are not, I mean, Alzheimer's is one form of dementia. There's a lot of other forms, but Alzheimer's, I believe, is one of the most prevalent, correct? Yeah. And it is impactful. I mean, my father-in-law also had it, and at the end of his life, and it's there's a lot that plays into it that can make it extraordinarily difficult for caretakers and the obviously the person who's undergoing is who has fallen victim to it. Talk to me a little bit about the Alzheimer's Association, just on a general level, like the different things that they do, because they're based in Massachusetts also, I think, right? Or are they based here?
Yes. So there are 81 chapters across the country. The Massachusetts, New Hampshire chapter is ours. It's the one I volunteer with, and 48 Peaks falls under. They, in terms of the association as a whole, the national organization, and I'm reading off what our event manager provided some
Yeah.
details for
No, that's
me.
okay. Well, because I like, I
those,
just I'm interested, always interested in hearing what these organizations kind of undertake. You know, I mean, obviously a big part of what they're all doing is raising funds, but like they're using it, you know, to support, I would imagine, research, you know, advocacy, a support for families, you know, things like that. So that's the kind of stuff that I would love to hear a little bit more about, just because I feel like, you know, if somebody is struggling or has, you know, just learned about a relative that has been diagnosed, it's obviously extraordinarily difficult, but there is help available, and the website is fantastic, alz.org. Tons of great resources. So yeah, so that was more, I was just like, oh, tell me a little bit about what they're doing.
I can definitely tell you a bit more. So the Alzheimer's Association leads the way to end Alzheimer's and other dementia. So they offer support for global research. They drive risk reduction and early detection, maximize quality care and support. They have the website, like you mentioned, alz.org, which is phenomenal in offering details on support groups, resources in terms of like what are the 10 signs of Alzheimer's or dementia, the early signs, the helpline. It's a 24/7 phone line. I can say the number for everyone to have. It's 1-800-272-3900. There's master clinicians on there, over 200 languages available. So if you need help, you need a listening ear, just, you know, someone to provide support. There's someone there for you. I haven't used it personally. I have fellow volunteers who have, both now and in the past, and they're really, you know, it's one of those, like, there's so many organizations out there that do really great work. And I just am continuously amazed at how Alzheimer's Association, like they say, they do what they say, you know, and they offer so many phenomenal resources that I learn something new every time I talk about it. Like there's some things that our event manager gave me as just notes for tonight. And I was like, oh, we have that too. Like there's all these things. Like I there's new things all the time. And it's just incredible. But you know, with support groups, one of our volunteers, she's actually a young caregiver. Her mom was diagnosed with early onset a couple of years ago. She's in a young caregiver group for like young 20s, 30s somethings, and it's been life-changing. You know, there's other care groups of, you know, su sorry, support groups for other groups of caregivers who are older or sandwich generation. And it's just the support they offer is incredible, you know, so no one's left behind. On top of research and all those other things. So hopefully that helps cover a
Oh
little
no,
bit
it
what
definitely
they
does.
do.
And I think that, you know, that's fantastic, because, you know, it's an extraordinarily isolating disease for the person who is suffering it. And it's also extraordinarily isolating for people who are caregivers. So it is super important to reach out and get the help that you need now.
Definitely.
So thank you for that. And thank you to Megan as well.
Yes. She helps me stay up to date on things
So
that are
48
offered.
Peaks wasn't did that actually wasn't how the fundraiser started out, right? It was called The Longest Day. So tell me a little bit about what that represents, and then how 48 Peaks kind of sprouted out of that.
It's actually a fun story. You know, I'm sure when people hear the Alzheimer's Association and fundraising events, they think of Walk to End Alls. There's now Ride to End Alls. There's the bigger ones. But Longest Day is a small, like a lesser known fundraising event. It falls around, you know, the longest day of the year, the summer solstice, goal being to shine as much light as we can on Alzheimer's on that day, fundraise for the association, raise awareness. And 48 Peaks was born out of that in 2013. So a man, I believe in New Hampshire, he also volunteered with the chapter. He wanted to fundraise in honor of his wife, who had Alzheimer's at the time. So he created a longest day event that was hiking up in the Whites with his family and friends. And they fundraised for a couple of years and it just gained traction. And then eventually it kind of became its own little spin-out event called 48 Peaks that still falls under the longest day umbrella within the Massachusetts New Hampshire chapter. But we've kind of just taken on, you know, a life of its own. So this will be our 11th year in existence, which is just really crazy to think about since I've participated since 2018, and it's been around way longer than that. It's just cool to see how it's changed over the years and grown.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that there was a great piece that one of the main, I'll link it up, at the main
Was it
New
New Center
Center,
Maine,
New
I
Center
think?
Maine, yeah, did back in
Yeah.
2022 because you guys had hooked up with one, a very significant Facebook group that does hiking and managed to raise a ton of money in a super short period of time. So, I mean, it's amazing. So, anyway, I was
Yeah.
just like, that's really cool. Is that partnership continued, I hope, through the as of last year?
So last year, so this is Hiking Buddies.
Yeah.
They focused on Emily's hike last
Oh,
year. So we did have a number of hiking buddies come over and participate, and they're coming back again this year. So the partnership itself is not happening this year, but there are still a lot of participants coming from Hiking
Well, and that
Buddies.
would make
Yeah.
sense, I guess, that they would, especially once they realize probably how much activation they could incite by just being involved in something to then
Yes.
spread the wealth and not necessarily have to, I don't
Oh
know.
yeah.
Yeah,
It
no,
really
that's.
blew us away when we saw the numbers just kept going up and we were like, wait a minute, we hit like 100,000, then we hit 200,000, and we were like, what is happening? You know?
But don't
So
stop. Whatever it
no.
is, we hope it doesn't stop. So
Yeah.
talk about the
No.
structure of the actual fundraiser. So obviously it's around the 48 Peaks. What is it going to look like this year? Because I know you're very much involved in helping out with this. You have a team. Where are you hiking? How do the teams coalesce and all that? So tell me more about that.
Yeah, so the premise of the event is to have one team on each of the 48 peaks. Originally, like we said, longest day, so in June, but now it's more over the summer, you know, whenever people can get out there and hike. So right now we've covered all of the peaks except Wildcat A, has a team on it, which is fantastic. So the premise of it is, you know, each team goes up and hikes and then wears their purple, has their banners and fundraises. There's no minimums. You know, I believe when a team captain creates a team, there's like a $20 donation just to create the team. But then after that, your team members can join for free. Or, you know, of course, we encourage donations. The only, like, if you want to fundraise, if you get, if, no, I shouldn't say get, when if you achieve $100 fundraise, then you're qualified for our performance enhanced t-shirt for this year. And it's a great design. We had a lot of fun putting it together. So then you can wear your purple out on the trails, and then people will stop and chat with you about it, which always happens when I wear my purple. But yeah, and then we'll have our hiker celebration again at Reckless Brewing up in Bethlehem, New Hampshire. That'll be June 8th. So that's usually the day that most of our teams hike. But my team and I, sometimes in the past, we've hiked in July, we've hiked in August. You don't have to hike the day that everyone else does. And you can fundraise up until August 31st. So there's plenty of time.
That's
And
awesome.
we're hoping this year, we've raised almost $900,000 since we started in 2013. So this year we're going for that 1 million
Yeah.
total that we fundraised. We're gonna go for it.
That's
So
awesome. That's so
yeah.
awesome.
It
That's a lot of money. So that's
is a
fantastic.
lot. Thank
And
you.
I'm just like, Wildcat A is right near my lodge up in Gilead, Maine. So I'm gonna have to get a team together. I can't probably do
Hey.
it June 8th, but I could definitely do it before the end of August. And I haven't hiked Wildcat A. I haven't hiked the Wildcats.
Yeah.
So
I haven't done that side
that will
except
motivate
Mariah.
me.
So,
Yeah, that's
yeah.
exciting. So
Yeah.
where are you hiking this year? What's your
So
choice?
my team and I are going to do Galehead. So my friends, they hike but not frequently, so I usually pick a peak that's a bit more beginner. In the past, we've done Osceola, we've done Pierce, Cannon, like I mentioned. So I usually pick the quote unquote easier forecast that we can do.
Yeah, that's a
But
great hike
one
though.
thing,
That'll be
it
fun.
is a good one. Yeah, I like Galehead. I like the hut and the food and the lemonade too, which is also great.
Yes, snacks are
But
always make it better.
yeah, one thing I forgot to mention, you know, we want one team on each of the peaks, but we can have multiple teams on each peak. The purpose is at least one. We've had some confusion in the past where it's like, oh, all the 48 are taken. I can't hike. You can hike. Like, there's teams to join. You can make a team. Like, it's totally fine, you
Yeah.
know?
And you don't have to hike a 48 either. As much as it is called 48, right?
Yes.
If that is something that is not in your wheelhouse, or you're not close by, or for whatever reason that isn't going to work for you, you can create it. They have a DIY adventure button
Yes,
that you can
yes.
push and make your own, right?
Yeah, we took the DIY from Longest Day and made it into part of 48 Peaks. It's Yeah, create your own adventure. We've had people do 52 with the views. You could do a Wachusett, you could do a Monadnock, you could do Middlesex Fells, Blue Hills, really whatever you want, a local scenic trail. That way, we're inclusive. Anyone can participate who wants to from wherever they want. I think we've had even some people do like a Prezi traverse. So you can mix it up, do a Prezi, do a Pemmy, do something else crazy that's a little beyond my abilities,
Right.
or the other way, whichever you
That
want.
would be the longest week, not the longest day for
Yeah,
me,
exactly.
but whatever. Yeah, no, that's cool. That's very cool. And I love it when things like this kind of, start growing from the grassroots level, 'cause it's just fun to watch.
Yeah,
That's
I think
awesome.
it came out of COVID actually, because 2020, which was the year I started volunteering, was an interesting year. It was one of those years, obviously we didn't want to encourage people to head up north. And we were trying to figure out, okay, what do we do instead? And it was encouraging people to stay local, do something smaller. And then the next year, people were asking, I can't do a 4K. Can I do something else? And like people were doing a Willard or a Pemmy or sorry, Mount Pemmy, not a Pemmy Loop difference. But, we realized there were people who wanted to participate who we didn't really have that structure to include. And it's been really great to see what people have done with it since
Yeah,
then. Yeah.
definitely. So it's interesting that 2020 was the first year that you wound up volunteering, and
Yes.
then you just won an award to for being a
I
volunteer in
did.
January. So tell me about that.
Yeah, it was a surprise. Megan surprised me again. So I was nominated actually for a National Volunteer Award for longest day. And I'm just really grateful. I guess it was each region could nominate a volunteer, and New England nominated me, or Megan put me up for a nomination. And it just really makes me grateful to see 48 peaks on the national map. We got a couple shout outs. This was at a volunteer conference in New Orleans in January, and we got multiple shout outs. I got to give a presentation on 48 peaks and also listen to a counterpart in New York talk about a similar event in the Catskills, and then had more people come up to me and ask about how to create it in their own areas like SoCal and Illinois. And it was just, I was shocked to receive the award and just so grateful to see how much this event resonates with people in the area here, but also across the country. And yeah, I don't really, I was speechless at the time, and sometimes I still don't know what to say
Yeah.
beyond that. I'm grateful. Yeah.
Well, it's a huge honor and definitely a
Yeah.
testament to, your commitment to the cause and to, keeping 48 Peaks growing. And what I want to know is like, so, as we said, this is a volunteer thing that you do on the side. Like, you have a real job. You're a scientist at a pretty high level. You are
Thank
very,
you.
very, a lot of education, a lot of like crazy stuff going on in your professional life. How do you make time to like go hiking at all? Never mind, go hiking and be involved in this as well. Like, what's your secret?
It's a balancing act. Half the time, I fit it in when I can, and it's usually last minute, honestly. It's sometimes just a mess, but it's a fun mess, I, at this point, this is my first year as volunteer chair for the volunteer committee, and I just am so fortunate to have a really great group of volunteers, and also our event manager, Megan, who, right now work is a bit crazy, and there's people who pick up for me, and we're a team. We have a great group of like 10 volunteers, and everyone's committed to this. We're, figuring out ways to make this event more and plan it out and everything. And it's just fun. I think that's why I keep coming back too, why I keep doing the work even when I'm tired from my actual day job, is it's fun. And I've met so many amazing people too. So,
Well, and
yeah.
hiking is obviously a passion for you. How are you doing on your 48s? Are you done?
No, I'm still going. I've done 30. And I've been working on it for 8 years, or
Wow. Well,
almost 8 years.
yeah, that's awesome though. That's good.
Thank you.
Do you hike in the winter at all, or do you kind of take the season off?
I am starting to experiment with winter hiking. Nothing like trail breaking, but I have gone up the last 2 new years and have done like Wombeck And then I did a Mariah. So I'm beginning to explore winter hiking. I did a little bit in the Belknaps too over the last couple of months.
Yeah, good for
I'm
you.
getting
Oh my
there.
gosh.
Thank you.
How about backpacking? Has that been something? Do you do overnight trips as well, or are you mostly a day hiker?
I'm up to this point a day hiker. I am curious about backpacking. Actually, when we mentioned Emily's hike last year, I won a gift certificate for a backpacking course. So I'm going to be taking that end of June out in Western Mass. So I'm going to start experimenting with that and see how it goes. I'd like to try.
Do you have other folks that you hike with regularly that maybe are also on board for this whole backpacking adventure, or is this going to be another thing that you're like, well, I might have to start out by myself?
I fortunately have a couple friends who have done backpacking. My good friend Lynn, who's also a volunteer on the 48 Peaks Committee, she her friend is the one who runs the guide company I'm going through, so she's going to join me on this trip. So hopefully after that we'll go backpacking too.
Nice.
Most of my other friends are day hikers. So.
It's hard. It's hard to get over that hump. I mean, I've only backpacked a couple times, and it's definitely not something that I feel comfortable doing, and probably would not do by myself, even at this stage. So, I commend you for getting out there and getting it and doing it, because that's a whole other level of preparation and
Oh, it really
time
is.
and everything else. So, well, given that you've done a bunch of hiking in New Hampshire, I'm going to ask you a couple questions about what you like about it. As far as what would you say so far has been your favorite hike that you've done in the Whites?
Uh-oh. I have to pick one. I'm trying
Maybe not. Maybe
to
you don't have to
think.
pick one, or maybe if there's a favorite, if you there's something that you remember really, really loving at the top or on the way, or I mean, there's a lot of lovely things to do, and there's also a lot of hard things to
No, there are a lot of hard things.
do.
I would say one of I'd say on the top five of my favorite hikes was actually 2 New Years ago when I hiked Mount Moriah in the winter. I went with Team Littlefoot and Lynn, and I had never hiked with them before, and it was one of the most fun hikes I think I've ever been on. We all had we were with Dee, who wears the tutu, so she had her tutu. There were some other people with tutus. We all had pom-pom like headbands, and it was just like it was so cold. It was like a sub-zero day, and it was socked in at the summit. It was frigid. And I just wanted to get down because my hands were like, I couldn't move them at one point. But it was like the most fun I've had on a hike. Everyone was enjoying it. We had a little sun come through on the way down. We all were like screaming. And it was just the people, really. Like, that was probably the most fun I've had. Another one was probably. I did a solo. My first 4Ks that I did solo were actually Galehead and South Twin. And when I got to the top of South Twin and saw the Pemi, it was like the first time I had seen everything from that angle. It was breathtaking. And I can't wait to get back up there and see it again, because I haven't done the Bonds. I can't wait to see the Pemi again from that way.
That's awesome. How about maybe a place you've gone, like what's been the maybe the most overrated hike you've gone on? I want to hear your overrated, underrated, because because we're in this like very quiet corner of the Whites in Evans Notch, which I think is like one of the most underrated sections of the White Mountain National Forest. There's some amazing hikes in there that nobody ever goes on, really. I mean, you could very easily do a hike in that area and not see another person all day, which blows my mind. Versus, you go to Franconia now and you're parked like, I don't know, in Plymouth, but you have to hike back to the trailhead. So, not that I can't really, but I can't even call that an overrated hike because it is so fantastic. So, but what would you say would be overrated, underrated?
It's funny you mentioned Evans Notch. I just went up that way last July 4th, and my friend and I went up the Bald Face Loop to the Emerald Pool. She's not a hiker, so that we didn't go further than that. But I would love to do the Bald Faces. They look stunning. But even
That's a
just like
really
driving
nice.
through, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that's an amazing That's an amazing day. It's like Franconia, except you're looking at the presidentials and you see like seven people. So there's like 9 miles. Well, how many? It's probably 6.5 miles of ridge that you
Okay.
go over. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta get, yeah, I want to go back over to Evans Notch and explore because I had never been there. And even just like driving through, I was like, whoa, look at all these. And there was no one. There was no one. It was beautiful, stunning place. So I definitely underrated. We'll go with you on that, even though I haven't hiked anything yet
Well, the
over
pool
there.
is really nice too.
It
I mean, people know about
was
that,
nice.
but
Yeah. overrated, I guess, like, dare I say Tecumseh? Like, I
you
was
can
a little
absolutely say
sad
anything
when I
you'd
went.
like.
Yeah, like I will say, if I hadn't done the ski slopes, there was a hiker we encountered near the summit of Tecumseh who mentioned the ski slopes and the Sozman Trail. If we hadn't gone out the ski slopes and seen the beautiful views of Waterville Valley because we had a bluebird day, I would have definitely been like, Tecumseh is literally the worst because Stairmaster. And there's only so much views, you know. I would say it's still on my lower end of like not being my favorite, you know.
I wish that I could admit to enjoying hiking just to hike, which I do sometimes, but I do get very disappointed when I get to the top and there's nothing to look at. Either you're socked in, which seems to happen every time I go to anywhere where there's a fire tower. It's like there's not a, you can't even see your hand in front of your
It
face.
was me at
Or
Cannon on the first time. There was nothing. Yeah.
that's been my old spec experience. So whatever, I got to
Yeah.
keep
Oh,
trying to get there
gotcha.
on a day that
Yeah.
either has a good undercast, which I would love to. I've only seen a good undercast a couple
Oh.
times, and that's just spectacular. But
Yeah.
no. Usually I hope for it, and then I'm like, no, it's just cloudy. Period, all the way up.
Can I do another underrated, or
You
maybe I'll do
absolutely
two?
can. Yes.
So, okay, one, you know, with views, because I've just finally been getting into the Belknaps. Belknaps are so underrated. I mean, I did major first, but the last hike I did was like the Quarries, Clem, Rand, Anna. I'm gonna finish off the rest, like the Gunstock section, I think in a couple weekends. Beautiful trails, some of very good views, even though you're not as high up. Definitely recommend the Belknaps. And then the other that is not, you're not like gaining any elevation is actually Pondicherry Wildlife Refuge up
Oh,
in
it's so
Jefferson.
beautiful up there.
Oh my gosh, stunning, absolutely stunning. And wildlife, I'm into birding, like it's a great spot if you don't want to gain any elevation.
But you're right there at the on the northern end of the White Mountains, and you can see a whole bunch of stuff. And if you get there on a beautiful
Oh
day,
yeah.
we were talk I talked I think it might have been the last episode I put up was with Marianne Borowski, who did the New Hampshire Cross New Hampshire Adventure Trail, and she was talking because that goes right through Pondicherry on the Presidential Rail Trail.
Oh.
So she was like, you
Yeah.
got to do it west to east, because then you're riding through there and you're looking at Mount Washington the whole time, and it's so spectacular. So that's a great recommendation. I would totally agree with you. So you're still working on your 48s. What
Yes.
else? And you're going to go backpacking this summer. What else is on your list for this year, as far as like just as you look out onto the horizon of 2024, beyond obviously making 48 Peaks like a total supersonic hit yet again this year, what else are you hoping to look back at in December and say, oh, this is a good year?
I would say add a couple more 52 with the view to, I think I've done 10, and those are definitely ones I think people sleep on. You know, they don't hike those. They think of the 4Ks and forget about the 52. And there have been a number on there that I felt were harder than some of the 4Ks I've done, Chicora being one of them. Had they have stunning views, and I really would like to do some more of those. Maybe I could even backpack them, depending on where they are. That'd be cool,
Yeah,
and explore some other
absolutely.
parts of New Hampshire that I haven't been to. So,
Right. And
yeah.
so do you primarily, well, I guess you do hike it. You've done some hiking Western Mass too, but it sounds like you're pretty committed to New Hampshire.
Yeah, I'm trying to do more Massachusetts too. Like I did Watonic the other day. You know, I've been trying to do the Wapak area, Central Mass. You know, the backpacking course I'm going to do, we're going to do part of the Appalachian Trail out in the southwestern corner of Massachusetts. Not the Greylock part. I have done Greylock, but yeah, that just there's these areas that I haven't done. Vermont would be cool. I have not hiked in Vermont. I really haven't
Yeah.
been up there at all in general.
Yeah.
So
I would
maybe that too.
yeah, go to the northern area in Vermont, the southern Vermont. A lot of that is the Green Tunnel, as they call it. I mean, it's beautiful, but a little bit different in the topography. So, all right, cool. Well, that's good stuff. And then I guess the last thing, well, let's just, I want to recap all the important highlights on 48 Peaks. So, June 8th, Saturday at Reckless Brewing is the hiker celebration. So, if you happen to put a team together and are hiking in that general area, you are definitely going to be there. It'd be an awesome place to meet Cindy and a lot of other fun people because it's just a fun place in general. I would always suggest that you go to Reckless if you're in the Bethlehem area.
Absolutely.
But that's super fun. The website is alz.org/48peaks to get right into the business of the hike. But for alz.org has, as we mentioned before, tons and tons of information. There's a Facebook group, 48 Peaks Facebook group. Let's see what else. 48
Instagram.
Peaks on, yeah, 48 Peaks ALZ on Instagram. All of that is
And then one
amazing.
other thing I
Yeah, what did we
forgot
miss?
to mention in terms of if you don't want to hike with us, of course, you can donate, you can volunteer. We also have a revamped sponsorship program for Sponsor a Summit this year. There's different levels. One of the feedback we got last year, because there were some smaller businesses we had approached and who had asked us about sponsoring, and they told us the lower level was a little bit too high. So we have tweaked it down. So hopefully that some of our friends at local businesses who want to sponsor will be able to this year. And I don't know the specifics off the top of my head, but Megan, our event manager, has managing all of that and can answer any questions. If there's a business that is listening or you know of someone who might want to get involved, that is an option too. So I think we have five sponsors currently who have
Yeah.
signed up for this year. And
Yeah.
we're very excited to have some
Yeah.
returning.
That's a great opportunity, actually, I think. I mean, you're getting in front of a really dedicated and committed crowd of people that love being outside and love being in nature. And so, yeah, I can think of a lot of places that should take
There we
advantage
go.
of that. That's a great opportunity. So I'm glad you mentioned that. All right, last question I like to ask everybody is your favorite piece of gear that you use outside that costs less than $50.
Oh, you know what? I would have to say my Kula cloth. Hands down, my
Oh,
Kula
yeah.
cloth.
Kula. I honestly think Kula and headlamp, I think, are the two things that get mentioned the most. So do you have just one or do you have like several? Do you collect them?
I have a couple of them. The
Yeah.
one I mainly use now, Megan, I think, reached out to the creator of Kula last year and she made some custom 48 Peaks ones for the committee.
Oh, that's
So
awesome.
I have my 48 Peaks one that I use.
That is awesome. That's cool.
I
No.
get compliments on it a lot. People are like, "Oh, it's so pretty." And I'm like, "Don't touch
Yeah. Yeah.
it."
It's not a banner.
Look, don't touch
Yes.
it.
Yeah. Well, and that is funny because I reached out to them a long time ago too. They'll like custom make almost anything. And that's really cool that she did that for you guys. That is a great alignment right there. That's cool.
I don't know if they'll make more for us at some point. That would be
Yeah.
cool if we could get a
What's your
bunch.
other one? What pattern did you go with?
I think it's a bee pattern. I
Yeah.
actually did honeybee research during my undergrad. So I love
Oh.
honeybees. I know a lot of people don't like them. I
No, my husband
personally
has some
adore them.
hives, so like
Oh,
he
okay.
would be into that. So that's cool.
So I
No,
have some
that's awesome.
honeybees on mine.
Excellent. Kula is the best. So we'll link
It
them up
is.
too. All right. Anything else we missed, Sandy? Anything else you want to, any parting words this evening before you roll off into the rainy sunset?
Sunset. No, I mean, thank you so much for having me on. I love talking about 48 Peaks. Any chance I can get, the Alzheimer's Association is a really great organization that provides so many resources that I'm just endlessly impressed by everything they do. So, I help manage the Instagram. If anyone has questions about the event, reach out there. It'll probably be me who answers you. We have the Facebook group. We have a nice link tree with a bunch of links that is for Alzheimer's and also just hiking resources like the Hike Safe Card and other things. So we're trying to make sure our hikers are as prepared as possible when they go out there, and we don't have any SAR reports for anyone who hikes with us, you know. But yeah, we'd love to see people June 8th
We want
at
you only on
Reckless.
this search and rescue podcast to talk about the fundraiser, not to talk about lost hikers.
Don't be on a report.
We do not want ridicule. All right. And if anyone wants to hike Wildcat A, I'm like, seriously, when I hang up with you, I'm going to start texting around, see if I can get a little team together and cover that
there
last
we go.
Peak. Not that we wouldn't welcome many other themes on Wildcat A, but I haven't done any of those, so I think it might be high time. Awesome.
I haven't done them either, so if you want another team member,
yeah,
it works
there you
out,
go.
I can come over.
we're gonna put you on as many teams as possible all throughout the summer,
I'm fine
so.
With that.
Exactly. Awesome. Checking it off your list and checking it off your list, so I love it. All right, Cindy. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate your time tonight. Thanks so much, and I'm looking forward to seeing more from 48 Peaks all summer long.
Yep. Thanks, Jen. Let's go paint the peaks purple.
Absolutely. Now you can understand why I got all fired up to do Wildcat A for the 48 Peaks Initiative, right? Cindy is the volunteer captain and coach we all need to inspire us. I do have a confession to make. This is kind of like Rooted Mountain Bike Festival in New York when I said, hell yes, after I talked to somebody before doing the research and realizing it was 9 hours away. In this case, I was like, Wildcat's awesome, right down the road. And I realized after I recorded that Wildcat A is the turnaround point of a very rigorous sounding out and back hike. That might kill me, but it's fine. We will have fun. As I said I was going to do it. I'm going to suck it up and do it. It might take me 12 hours, but that's that much more fun, right? So who is in for my Guides Gone Wildcats fundraising team? Yes, that's right. I am all about a play on words and playing in the mountains. So I'm lending my support to Cindy and the 48 Peaks Initiative. I've started a fundraising team called Guides Gone Wildcats, and we are going to hike Wildcat A and D on the way for all you peak baggers. Not sure when yet, probably in July sometime. I can't do it on longest day weekend because I got a high school senior graduating. But by the time this goes up, I will have made that call and it will be on the Guides Gone Wildcats team page. If you would like to join me or support our team's fundraising efforts with a donation of literally any amount, head on over to alz.org/48peaks and search for our team, Guides Gone Wildcats. Let's do this. And as a special bonus to listeners of this podcast who will be doing a hike for Alzheimer's on June 8th, the longest day weekend, and if that hike happens to be close to Evans Notch Lodge, I'm looking at you, Team Wambach, Mariah, Cabot, any of the Carters, Wildcat A, even all you hardcores hitting the Northern Presidentials, I am happy to offer a deeply discounted weekend or one-night stay at Evans Notch Lodge between June 6th and June 10th. We are an hour or less from all of those trailheads, and a little under an hour from the celebration that's happening at Reckless. So if you're interested, hit me up in the Guides Gone Wild DMs or email guidesgonewildpodcast@gmail.com and I'll be happy to help. Get a room so you can get to the trailhead early and get a hot shower after. Make it a weekend. Have a grown-up summer camp experience with all others who are supporting Alzheimer's and love to hike. Does it get any better? I think not. So we'll end this one here, because I obviously have to hop on a Stairmaster and start training my booty off, so I'll be ready to head to the Wildcats to get a little bit wild.